God has been faithful as we've been going through Ephesians and kind of learning about our position that we have in Christ, and that our position in Christ is that we sit in the heavenlies, that we are in Him. And that was the first three chapters all dealing with that position that we have as we sit in the presence of the Lord. He's caused us to have this place. So all of this, this relationship that we have, this right standing we have, this ability to, you know, have a right fellowship with God and stuff, was all based on the finished work of the cross. It's based on what Jesus has done for us, both individually and then also corporately as a body of believers. We are all recipients and the beneficiaries of that grace and mercy. But there's nothing we can do to add to that. God loves you. God accepts you. God receives you just as you are, just as I am. He takes us in and accepts us, and we are part of the family as we open our lives up to Him. There's nothing we can do more to add to that. But in light of that, then He says, this is how your life should be in light of these things. And so that's kind of where we are this morning. Once we hit chapter 4, we kind of started a new portion of this. And all of this lifestyle stuff that we're talking about in chapters 4, 5, and 6, how our walk should be, is based on what He's already done for us. Man, that changes my perspective. It helps me to have a right view of who God is. God's not up there with this hammer waiting to pound on us because we've made a mistake. We're already accepted. We're already a part of the family because of His grace and His mercy, because we've received Him into our hearts. Now, because of that, there's this journey that we're on with the Lord. And in that journey, there's a lifestyle that's fitting to this new life we have. And so that's what we're talking about. We've just been talking about really kind of, we started off in verse 17 of chapter 4, really kind of getting into this new life that we have and this new walk because of what He's done for us, that we're not to walk as we used to walk. And so we're kind of in this time when we're going through this where it's kind of comparative a little bit. It's contrasting. It's looking at how we used to do things and how we are to do things now. Now, some of you, and I think this is great, and I commend you, are just better people to begin with than someone like maybe myself. And I think that's great. I commend you. Some of you are just more quality people in certain ways. You know, and I think that's awesome. Some of you just had a basically good lifestyle. You just found out you just kind of had a void in your life and you needed God, and you know, God met your need. And I think that's awesome. But some of us were a lot more messed up than that. And we were in desperate need, you know, of Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, just desperate. And we knew it. That you know, we hit the absolute end of the runway and the plane's not getting off the ground, you know. And so we know that. And all of us, though, came to the Lord, isn't it great, the same way. The guy that's really smart, the guy or gal that's super, super smart, they come to the Lord the same way as the most base person comes to the Lord. I'm just thankful for that. God created a level playing field. It's all through humility, isn't it? Us humbling ourselves and accepting the free gift that God's given to us. Isn't that amazing that you really have to earn your way to get to hell? You have to really work to go to hell. You'll think, God, can you say that anymore? And can you use a word like that? That's a four-letter word. My goodness, you know. Well, it's a biblical term. But the idea is permanent separation from God. You have to earn your way to be permanently separated from God. When you leave this planet, if you leave the planet without Jesus Christ, now there's permanent separation. And there's a lot of even people that are well-intended that put that all up for question now. But the idea is this. Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. I don't know how many ways you can slice and dice that. If you know Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have everlasting life. It's not complicated. And again, I'm very thankful. A guy like myself understands that kind of talk. It's straightforward. It's to the point. And I am telling you, in our day and age in which we live, we need more and more of that kind of communication and the kind of convoluted, confusing, sidestepping the issue communication that goes on throughout our world today. So that's kind of some of the stuff we're talking about. We haven't even read a verse yet. Can you believe it? We quoted some stuff, though. verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, now remember, whenever you hit, we're just going to get to one word for a second. Whenever you hit a therefore, and this will help you devotionally. This was such a revelation to me when I was first kind of getting into, you know, coming to the Lord and reading my Bible and stuff. You know, just that word is really helpful for you and I as we're even reading just in our own quiet time. Man, therefore is a transitional word that helps to kind of transition into this next thought, but it's grabbing a hold, like reaching back and grabbing a hold of that last thought that we just talked about. So it's kind of, whenever you read it, you have to ask yourself, what's it? Exactly. You know, what's it there for? What, you know, what are we talking about? It says, therefore, and it's because of what was stated just previously in verse 32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So therefore, because of that heart of forgiveness, because of what God's done for you and for me, which we were just talking about, that grace and that mercy that was shown to us, because of that kind of a heart, because of that wonderful gift that God's given us in forgiveness. Man, being forgiven is so awesome. You know, many of us remember the load that we carried with the sin and the guilt and the shame because we didn't have a relationship with God. It says, man, be forgiving. You know, if you're not forgiving, it's likely you're heading toward bitterness, toward a person, toward a situation, toward a circumstance. And man, it is a bad place to be. Bitterness is, it's disturbing. God wants to free you from that. God wants to free me from that. Because what bitterness does is it festers. Bitterness is like a large redwood splinter. It gets in there and it just kind of goes in and you just can't quite get it out. I used to use a lot of redwood and you just can't get it quite out of there. But if you don't get it all the way out and get that, man, that redwood, for some reason, something in the properties in redwood, it just starts to fester. It gets pussy, it gets swelled up, it gets infected. Well, that's kind of what happens in our hearts and minds when we've allowed bitterness. I've made it somewhat graphic. I could have been much more, but I'm not going to be. I could have made it a little more, but you get the idea, right? You know, we don't want to have that, right? We want to let that stuff go. We want that to be cleared out because it provides better health for you and for me. This is the deal. If you and I are not forgiving, we are limiting. If we allow bitterness to set in, we're limiting some of what God might want to do in and through our lives. It creates kind of a blockage. We want to be forgiving just as Christ has been forgiving toward us. There's not anything that you or I have done. If you're sitting here or you're in earshot of this, there is no way you've done anything that God wouldn't forgive you. Isn't that a blessing to know that? There's nothing you could have said or done that God won't forgive you. So why not? Sure. I may have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. No, there's no chance or you wouldn't be sitting here. Somebody who's blaspheming the Holy Spirit is leaving the planet without God. Basically, that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is rejecting at the final conclusion of life, rejecting the finished work of God's love and his grace and his mercy. Just turning away from God's love and saying, no, I don't want it. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So you haven't done that or you wouldn't be sitting here. It's not possible. You're here because you want to hear about what God has to say to your heart. Therefore, because of that thought, because of the grace and the mercy, the forgiveness of God, because of that, be imitators or be like is a great way to look at it. Just be like, be imitators of God as dear children. Oh, I love that invokes in my mind, you know, the idea of kids, you know, following their dad around, you know, kids following, you know, a parent in that way. You know, I remember when the Lord was drawing me into fellowship. My oldest was just a tiny little guy, and I would take him on job sites with me to, you know, go check jobs and stuff. Now, I knew about God, but was and had a relationship with God, but was not walking with God. And I remember as the Holy Spirit was just, the hounds of heaven were after me. We'd be in my work truck and I drank a lot. I partied a lot and I drank a lot. And I was no respecter of hours of day or time. You know, that was just me. So I would drive around and I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me. So you want him to grow up like you? And I'm just thinking, you know, I just keep drinking so I just don't hear the voice anymore in my heart and my mind. This is true. It's all true story. You want to grow up like you? And the Lord's persistent. The Holy Spirit's very persistent. And so now then eventually you engage in the conversation, you know. Reluctantly, I was engaging, you know, in the conversation. And ultimately it was like this. He's going to follow. He's going to emulate you, good or bad. It's something, everybody can say that it's a truth. You know, we don't have to entirely do that. The chains can be broken, you know, if it's wickedness. The chains can be broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. Wonderful. But there's a tendency to just emulate or to be like our parents. To be imitators of. And I just thought in my simple mind, no, you know, I don't want this. One, it's illegal. It's illegal to be driving around with open containers. You know, so I don't want them breaking the law. It's illegal. Two, I don't want them being like me. I'm an idiot. You know, I know enough to know that. You know, I don't want them to turn out like this, needing to be numb, you know, and get through life numb. So, because I could care less about socially. I didn't drink for social reasons. I had no interest in, I didn't care about the social part of it. I just drank because I wanted to get wasted. So it was a different perspective. So therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So a dear child is going to follow their parent. So what you are and who you and I are is what they're going to emulate, good or bad. And so the idea is, hey, let's be, you know, following our Father. Our Father is forgiving. Our Father is loving. Our Father is caring, tenderhearted, kind. You see, follow, be imitators as dear children. Just follow your dad. Walk in those steps. Walk in those steps. Follow your Heavenly Father. And then he says, I love this. He just comes right to it. He says, and walk in love. Walk in love. Again, that forgiveness is displayed by love. And you remember, whenever we come across agape love, if you want to, you know, a good note on what agape love is, you can hear me, I repeat this a lot, because it's the word love is very, you know, predominant, obviously, in the Bible. And when you get to the New Testament, it uses this word agape. Vine's Expository Dictionary on the New Testament words says that it is best described, so the best definition for agape love is it's best described by the actions that it prompts. A loving action is the best description for the word agape. Rather than, you know, just, you know, saying that you love, there's nothing, it's important to tell someone you love them. But it's more important that you and I are actually displaying an action, living out what that means. And part of that is being forgiving, isn't it? Being kind-hearted and tender-hearted toward one another. So walk in love. So now we're into this idea of how should our journey be? We're to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So when we've gone through Leviticus, we find there was, you know, some of the grain offerings and some of those things were that type of offering. As they were kind of smoldering there, they would go up and it would be such a sweet fragrance and it would go before the Lord. And it was something that was very pleasing to the Father. And that Jesus is himself that kind of an offering, sacrifice. So basically, for you and I, it might be that you and I have some things that we need to let go of. It's difficult. Trust me, I know. But sometimes we just got to let something go. And not carry that with us. Because see, that's where the bitterness can start to set in. And that's where it's just bad things can start to happen. And now you got to keep that stuff alive, keep it all going. And so you think on it. Yeah, well, you know, they wronged me, you know. And you just start working through this and mulling it over. And before you know it, they're like, you know, chainsaw massacre people or something, you know, just because they looked at you funny one day or something. Or they harmed you or harmed someone you love or care about in some way. And you know, and so we got to keep it in its right perspective. It says, man, offer that stuff up as a sacrifice to the Lord. Give it over to God. And it's difficult. It is. And I know that. But it is so important for us to let it go. It's a sweet-smelling aroma before the Lord as we walk in love. And forgiveness is a big key. It's very, very important. There's not a person here that hasn't wronged someone and hurt someone. And there's not a person here that hasn't been hurt by somebody. That's the truth. We've all been the perpetrator, the violator, and we've all been a victim in that situation, every one of us. But God's not here telling you to live out some victim status in the rest of your life because somebody wronged you and your mom didn't use cloth diapers when she should have and, you know, it was some other brand or something. And, you know, I mean, it gets so far out there sometimes, doesn't it? You know? The idea behind that. So what is it? Let it go. He says, just, man, walk in love. Let it go. It's a sweet-smelling aroma for the Lord. And then he goes on. Now, again, we're getting to those contrasting thoughts. The opposite of that, there's something that's not going to be healthy, fornication. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness. Let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. He says, this shouldn't even be something that's mentioned amongst believers. And it's basically fornication is sexual sin. Any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage, that's fornication. That's the best, simplest. We could get much more descriptive about it, but I think you get the gist of it, okay? It's very clear that anything outside of marriage is, in fact, fornication. Uncleanness and covetousness. So this idea of sexual sin as he ties covetousness to that is that it's not love, it's lust. You know, in the term in our world, right, is mixed together. You see, they try and use the word love in conjunction with just sexual sin. Now, sex, it definitely kept in its proper perspective, can involve a loving relationship. That's awesome. That's God's intent. That's God's design. But when it's taken to outside of that context, now it's lust, and lust is driven by covetousness. It's basically demanding your way at another's expense. That's basically what lust or covetousness in that situation is. So covetousness is wanting more or trying to take something of what you already have. And so it's an improper vantage point. So he says, that shouldn't even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Now, I love this. Paul is such a, I mean, it's the Holy Spirit, no doubt, but it's so good because he breaks it down. He breaks this down. He says, it's not just the act or the action of that. He goes on and says, neither filthiness, because a lot of, that's why they're called dirty jokes, right? A lot of dirty jokes have their core base in some kind of sexual thing or something like that, right? That, I mean, that's just a simple fact. Now, the problem with this is, could you mind if I use the term dirty jokes? Is that good enough? Or we can use this over and over again, filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. We can use those terms. But it's kind of just, you know, improper communication, you know, and stuff. So, you know, dirty jokes. Can we use that equals? Can we say that for just, it'll help me. Because if I had to read all three of those things every time, I'd get confused. But the idea is, it's a lot like pornography, and this is the thing. It leaves an indelible mark in our minds. There's not a guy amongst us that doesn't remember at the young, tender age, the first time that they got a hold of a magazine or saw pornography of some sort. It leaves this indelible mark on our minds. And it's horrible. It's just stuck there. Now, by God's grace and mercy, we just keep pleading the blood of Christ. Please wash this stuff out of my heart and my mind, Lord. Absolutely. But that's what it does. It leaves this indelible marking. You know the problem with dirty jokes is? I, from my earliest age, can still remember the first one that I was told. Now, either there's something super wrong with me, which is possible, okay? Or we're all kind of similar, and there's something to all this. that this is why Paul's saying, hey, don't do that stuff because it stains, indelibly marks your heart, your mind. And now you got to deal with that. It's like I've told you, sometimes, I mean, I pray every day, man, Lord, why did I think that way about that? Why? I mean, you can swear in your mind and nothing came out of your mouth, but inside your mind, you gave him a good cussing, you know. Now, to God, it's the same thing. You thought it, or whether it came out, God knows your heart, right? So I'm constantly in a repentant state of life, you know, because there's stuff going on in our hearts and minds. Now, I just think that Paul here is so lovingly telling us, hey, it's not just fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, this action of this, but it's even just talking about it, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. So these jokes that kind of cross that line. And it's funny, I think we kind of know that, don't we? There's things, now I'm telling you, I've been on a lot of job sites, my background has been a lot of construction, and so I don't know many places it gets much worse. I guess they say on a ship, I wasn't a sailor, so I don't know. But the construction guys are the land sailors. It's just that kind of a thing. It was just a perverse group of people in general, you know? And so the thought is for all of us, for you and for me, what is it that the Lord wants to do? Man, just set that stuff aside. It's not fitting. Again, he uses that term. It's not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. You know, we've talked about this in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, where it talks about that idea of because they were not thankful toward God, because they didn't have an appreciative heart of honoring God and were not thankful, their foolish hearts and minds were being darkened. I think sometimes kind of a darkness can come over us because of this very thing, rather giving thanks. So instead of going down this road, you see, of being a party to all of that, man, be thankful to God. Bring God into the picture. You and I have an action opportunity in these settings. It's difficult. I know it's difficult. But it's better to tell somebody, hey, look it, I'm not interested in that. I tell somebody, the joke thing starts to come out, hey, listen, I need to know going into this, where's this joke? Is this a dirty joke? Is this a, you know, because I'm not interested. I've got so much bad stuff in my brain, it's just, I'm still working on getting stuff washed out from 1972. 1973. I mean, I'm still working back a ways trying to get this stuff washed out of my mind and my heart that I don't need to add new data to that, you see. I'm still working on old stuff, you know, that doesn't need to be there. I think that's kind of the thing because he starts to go in taking about a kind of a course of action. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater. Basically, these things can become idols in our lives. So there's a caution, a real caution to us. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. It says, these people aren't really partakers in the goodness of God. Now, because you've said a dirty joke last week, nobody's going to hell. Okay, that's not what that's saying. I got to be clear about this because, I mean, you can walk away and just think, what in the world? Kind of prudish feller is this that's talking to you? I'm self-deprecating up here. I'm being honest with you about who I am. I get it. We're all in the same boat. But what do we do with this stuff? See, when you read in 1 John, he talks about that your life and my life, that as Christians, that we're no longer to sin. It, you know, but when you break that down in its original language, it's talking about not just the propensity or the tendency to sin, because of the sin nature that's within us. What he's talking about is that we're not practicing. In other words, rehearsing that dirty joke to tell someone else. That's not the manner of our life practice. That we just start to cut that stuff off. Give it to the Lord, let it be crucified, and be done with it. And let it go. That's really what it's talking about here. This has no place For this you know. And I like that, that it's stated that way. Isn't that good? Because you know this. We kind of innately know, hey, that's inappropriate. That's not right. It's not fitting for me as a Christian to talk like that or engage in those kind of things. Now, it happens to us. The thing is, what do you do when it happens to you? Do you stay engaged in it? No, because that's going to put a strain on your relationship with the Lord. So no, I don't want to do that. God still loves me. God still accepts me. But it puts a strain on the relationship. So what do I want to do? I want to do away with those things, repent of those things. And so I think, again, the lifestyle of the New Testament believer is one of repentance, truly. Just giving it over to God and saying, God, you know what? You know my heart. You know my thoughts. It's not healthy. So these things are in contrast. Walk in love. Those things are not walking in love. That's the deal. That would be worldly and not healthy for you or for me. I like verse 6. Oh my, I like verse 6. I like verse 6 a lot. I mean a real lot. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, because of that, remember, what's it there for? Because there's the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, those who are rejecting God, those who don't walk with God. And he says, therefore, don't even be partakers with them. This is why we do need to be cautious sometimes in the movies we pay to go see, the things that we purchase and get engaged in, because we kind of become partakers then. I'm supporting that. And this is just a simple truth. And the idea here, because I have a lot of people ask, hey, did you see that? No. One, I'm too cheap. Okay. That's the truth. I really don't have an interest in most of it. There's very little that's out there that's worth seeing. When you say, but gosh, when I'm at the water cooler at work and I'm just talking with people, you know, what am I going to talk about? Well, I don't have all the answers for you. But it doesn't have to be about the latest flick that just, you know, was playing at the theater. It just doesn't have to be. There's got to be something else to talk about. What about what you were thankful for? Well, gosh, now I'm going to alienate myself from everybody. You're already weird. Everybody knows it. If they know you're a Christian, they already think you're weird, even if you don't think they think you're weird, okay? They already think you're weird because you're a believer. So that's already in motion. Let no one deceive you. This is the thing. That verse before that says, this you know, something innately that we know as people that have given our lives to Jesus Christ. Some of us have been in much more dark places than others, but the idea is at some point in time, we said, oh my goodness, I am going the wrong direction. I need to go the right direction, and I've got to choose today. What am I going to do? Am I going to follow Jesus Christ, or am I going to follow my own fleshly desires? What am I going to do? So I make this decision. I decide to follow the Lord. I choose to follow him. But there's going to always be this thing that kind of surfaces once in a while, and I've got to be careful with that. What am I going to do with that? Am I going to start to follow those instincts again, or am I going to crucify that? This is where it kind of comes into play. This idea of this, you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. God, that the word just says that. I don't think there's a lot of commentary that needs to be said about that. I think it's just a straight shot that it just goes out there and we should be aware of it. Then, as you go down a little bit further, let no one deceive you with empty words. I find that because of, you know, PC that we have floating around out amongst us, political, SC, social, maybe, correctness, that's floating all around us all the time, that, you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't talk about that. Oh, don't bring up God, you know. Now, they can stand there and say all kinds of blasphemous things to you, but you just stop and say, hey, look, it. You know, I'm not interested in that. I love God, and even God loves you, and I'm not interested in this. Now, all of a sudden, you should be banished from the workplace. This is an interesting thing. When we read this then, we find so many pulpits, and this is going to offend people, and I understand that. There's so many pulpits across America that are being filled with things that are not willing to just say what I've just told you, the simple truth from the Word of God. But they would rather give empty words so as to let you kind of feel okay and that compromise is all right. Because, you know, hey, you know, we live in a world, it's hard to be really sure. Is this a gray matter or what? I don't know, you know. Well, I think Paul just here says, for this you know. I think we do know inside ourselves. I think I do know. I think you know. Now, whether you face it or not face it, what happens is the ultimate destination for those who do not know Jesus Christ, whether those that would face that, that's the line. Whether I'm going to agree with God and say, yeah, those are empty words. Let no one, it says, don't be deceived by this. Let no one deceive you. I don't care what their position or role is. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. God's ultimately going to judge this world in which we live. Now, judgment's not a popular topic. I understand that. But there is a judgment day that comes for all humanity. One great thing for us as New Testament believers, those who've given their lives to Jesus Christ, we do not face the white throne judgment. We don't face that. The only thing we stand up for is what did you do with the person of Jesus Christ? What did you do with him as a believer? Did you give God your whole life? Did you let God move in and through your life? Did you, all of those things. And even still, the salvation's not, it's a gift. It's not, there's nothing really at risk in that sense. And that's exciting to me. I'm thankful for that. Everlasting life's that free gift given to every person. So this idea of, man, I just see so many people trying to justify different things and positions and therefore then making themselves feel better. And they then gather up a head of steam and whole groups are formed based on that. Many years ago when my mom was still alive, she told me she was going to now, was attending a group and said that she was going to, you know, their group is a reconciling congregation. I've talked to you about this a couple times. They're a reconciling congregation. So I know my mom. I know, you know, I know what circles she's running in ministry-wise. And so she says, yes, I'm attending this group and we're a reconciling congregation. And I said, well, okay, Mom, so could we explore just for just a minute, you know, what that term means in your group? So basically that meant it really doesn't matter what your lifestyle is or how you choose to live, because they are accepting of all lifestyles and everything. And you can, you know, function and serve and do whatever because we're just a reconciling congregation. This is the problem with this. The Bible tells us to be reconciled to God. And the only basis for you and I am telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, I believe this with my whole being, that is verse 6. That is a deception to tell a group of people that you should accept in the sense of in leadership or anything like that, any type of lifestyle. Listen though closely to me. I believe anybody who is repentant, all of us, I stand before you as a sinner saved by God's grace and his mercy, I assure you. And that's the only reason I am allowed to do what I'm allowed to do because of the grace and the goodness of God and his mercy. The truth is, to have that type of statement put out there, it leaves the door wide open saying, hey, we accept anybody and everybody to do anything and to lead. But what makes that a qualification if they're continuing to practice that lifestyle, those choices? Now, think about this. I'm just going to stretch this. I'm going to stretch a little bit just on this for just a minute. Now, if before I got here, I'm driving over, And before I leave my house, I get into my little baggie. I find this nice bud in there. I break it up a little bit, get the seeds out and stuff. I get my zigzag. I don't know what they're using anymore. That was a long time ago. I get my zigzags out, you know, and I roll up a joint. On my way over here, I just smoke the whole thing. And I get stoned before I get here. Now, I might be super friendly, pretty outgoing, might be an introvert. I don't know what'll happen. But you get the idea is, how many of you would go, oh my gosh, we can't wait to get back next Sunday and hear what he has to say from God? No, but you got to ask yourself, why? Why would you wonder that? Well, he was stoned. I doubt he's hearing from God. He could be hearing from a spaceship. I don't know what he's hearing from. True? Right? So now you get where I'm going with this. What's different about anything? If you see me out with other women other than my wife, and I'm engaged in some other activities other than with my wife, that's going to put something in question. I don't think you're going to be eager to, hey, let's hear what he has to say in a few verses about marriage and family, you know, right? You're going to question that. And good for you, you should. And you know why you question that? It's because right here, for this you know. You see, you do know. I know, we know. We don't want to hear from the guy that's, you know, carried his flask of tequila and was hitting off that before he gets up and talks about God. I mean, we don't want to, that's not going to help me. That's not going to help you. You want to hear from someone who spent time praying. You want to hear from someone who spent time in the Word. You want to hear from someone who's seeking God and wants to know the simple truth that could be of benefit to all of us. It's not that complicated. And this we know. This you know. I just wanted you to see that you really do know, and that when you get to that place of saying a reconciling group, and you know, it's just, you know, it's okay, man. We're just kind of accepting of everybody. It's okay. I'm accepting of everybody too. And the Lord is accepting of everybody. But the deal is, there is the basis for relationship with God. There's a basis for it. And the basis for it is repentance and forgiveness. That's the basis. The door is open. The curtain was rent. We have access into the heavenlies, into the presence of God himself. But the access is by the finished work of the cross. A sacrifice was made, and we come in now boldly as accepting that sacrifice into his presence. We come into the presence of the Lord humbly, but boldly, in the sense of we can come in anytime. That's the bold, what is meant by that. Direct access, 24/7 to the Lord. That's exciting. That's awesome. But the basis for that was not willy-nilly do whatever you want and then come and go. No, it was, hey, a price was paid for you to have this access. And it was the finished work of the cross. So yes, accepting. Yes, forgiving. Yes, all of that is true. But there is a basis for that. And I wanted you to know that you know. Because you do know. You don't want just anybody leading. None of us do. We don't want that. We aren't going to find any perfect people, but you don't want just anybody. You want people with the right heart. And I think that's so true all the way through in our lives. And so while the door's open, and many of us are all tied up in this listing of things, I've been a party to most of this stuff. So, you know, but that's not who I am. Let's read on. We'll close out in just a minute. We'll just read on just a few more minutes. Hang in there, just a few more minutes. Verse 8, for you were once darkness. You were once darkness. It doesn't even say in darkness, does it? You were once darkness. That's what your life was. It was just darkness. That's the past. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now it says, walk as children of light. Once we were in the past, we used to be in darkness, but now. And how did this happen? 2 Corinthians 5:17 is how it happened. We give our lives to Jesus Christ. Behold, all things, it's old things have passed away. All things have become new. I have the newness of life in Jesus Christ. born again, changed, transformed. I'm not the same person I used to be. There's a newness of life, and we're to walk as children of the light. Would you turn with me real quickly to Matthew? Matthew's account in chapter 5. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount. In verse 13, Jesus speaking to them says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We're going to go back and talk about verse 16 in just a minute. I just want to get that thought in there when it says, walk as children of the light, but you are now the light in the Lord, so you could see what he's talking about. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. What is it that would be pleasing to God? And do that. That's a good investment, right? Find out what's acceptable to the Lord and do that. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, which we've just kind of explored. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So, one of the ways that you and I experience fellowship, you know, this interaction both with God and with other people in a healthy way, Christian fellowship, koinonia, the only way we can experience that is out of 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. So Jesus is light. And if we walk in him, we then therefore are imitators. As dear children, we are forgiving, we're understanding, we're kind-hearted, we're compassionate one to another. We're not withholding bitterness. We're not doing those things. We're not fornicators. We're not idolaters. We're not caught up in filthy language or filthy joking or coarse jesting, uncleanness, covetousness. Those things aren't to be named. That's not how we're living. Now, I understand things don't always go perfectly every day. Some things happen. But again, what do you do with that? You repent. You turn away from it and you start another day, you know? You start another minute. I have stuff that goes on sometimes minute by minute, you know, in my head. And I just got to dump it off, you know, get rid of that, you know? And just keep moving, keep walking, keep. The whole thing is we're on a journey. We're in motion, right? We're heading somewhere. We're heading a direction. This idea is that, man, we want to walk in that light as he is in the light. That's where we find fellowship. That's where we find relationship. Now, this idea that we've gotten into about having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, Paul was clear when he talked in other letters where he says, you know, you can't leave the planet. So I don't believe you and I are to sequester ourselves off somewhere and have no involvement with other people. We see groups, you know, in our world today, don't we? And some live not far from us, live near to us in this part of the country. You know, we have different groups that are like that. They've kind of sequestered themselves off and stuff. But Paul's saying, hey, you can't leave the planet. He's saying it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of my life. It's a matter of really my how I live my life, how I choose to live my life. He basically, you can be in the world but not be of the world is basically what he said. We live here. All of all of the letters that we've gotten, you know, the New Testament letters that we have, like we're reading today in Ephesians, there's a letter written to the church in Ephesus. Believers like you and I, in a city not that different than ours, a couple of thousand years ago, a letter being penned to them telling them, hey, this is how to live godly amidst an ungodly society. That's all we're wanting to learn every time we get together. Man, Lord, help me to live a godly life that's going to please you in the midst of an ungodly world. That's what we're learning. That's what God's teaching us. And so it says, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things, back to the exposed, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. This idea, the concept here is that by bringing God into a situation, into a conversation that would otherwise be devoid of God, brings light into that matter. And what it does is the light of the love of God exposes something, and it becomes manifest. It is revealed what it is. Now, there's places you can go, hopefully none of our residents, there's places you can go where you can walk into a room and you can flick the switch and all of a sudden the light comes on and it exposes all the cockroaches running all over the place, right? And they're scattering. Where are they heading for? They're trying to find the darkness. So they just scatter. But it's made manifest to you and I. Other than that, if the light off, you're just hearing the crunch, crunch, crunch while you're walking. I couldn't resist, you guys. Come on. It's a guy thing. Sorry. There's something wrong with me, ladies. I'm sorry, but I just couldn't. But you get the idea. But what was I crunching under my feet until I turn on the light? I don't know what it is. Now it's revealed. It's seen for what it is. Well, so is the truth when you and I are in a circumstance, in a setting with others, and all of a sudden we bring God in. I used to do this somewhat for right reasons, but there was also an entertainment value to me personally in this. I used to be sometimes, you know, my friends would call me, and it took me a while before I could even go to these, but there'd be a kegger party or something like that, and they'd say, I'm walking with the Lord now. But they say, hey, if you want to stop by, I said, yeah, I'll stop by for a few minutes, because I couldn't stop by for long, you know. It was too much for me. Because everybody started getting wasted, and then it's pointless. But I would sit around while, you know, I'd just hang out with them. I'd just bring my Coke with me and just have a Coke and a bottle of pop, whatever you want to, okay? I want to be clear what I'm bringing with me, a bottle of pop with me, and I'd be having a bottle of pop and they'd be drinking and stuff, and we'd be talking, and I'd like to throw Jesus out on the coffee table. Because I know what's going on in their head. I am them, so I know what's going on. And I said, yeah, so, you know, what do you think about Jesus anyway? And all you have to do is just mention the name. And that's exactly what happens. It goes just like that. There's something in the name of Jesus. It's a powerful, powerful name. There is no other name in heaven or in earth by which men must be saved. You know, it is the one name that we call upon for salvation. It's a powerful name. Not to be misused, but when used purposefully and in an appropriate environment, man, it's powerful. Life-changing. All of a sudden, it brings light into the matter, though. And what I started finding out is I started not getting invited to too many things like that anymore. And if you're having a kegger party, I probably won't be invited to your home either, and I understand that. I get it. If you're known as someone that's going to bring light with them, it's also going to expose what's going on, right? It's just going to do that. And so for us, man, you know what? You and I don't put a basket over the light. Let your light so shine amongst others that they see who you are in the Lord, your good works, and they glorify our Father in heaven. It's that simple. Let your light so shine. Basically, that's the gist of what is being said. Have no fellowship, but expose. Now, this doesn't mean that you and I are supposed to be undercover agents, Holy Spirit badge, you know, for God, and that we're here to expose everybody else's sin issues. If you're walking away with that, you've grossly misunderstood what God's desiring to communicate to us as people. It's not that you and I are the sin sniffers and we're going to find out who's doing what, you know, and get out. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, that's flat out weird. But it can happen in a lot of different ways, can't it? And so that's not what we're supposed to do. We're just supposed to be light. We're just who we are is light. Jesus has come in. The light of the world has come and lives inside of us. And we are by nature light, you know? And so where we go, the light goes with us, you know? It's just going to, you know, and it's just going to make manifest other things. This is why oftentimes when you're sitting on a plane or you're walking somewhere or you just bump into people or you're talking with, this is why one of the reasons why God comes up a lot. Because people see you reading your Bible or they see you. I can't tell you the number of people that have come up to me and talked to me at a restaurant who said, I'm a little bit habitual. You'd ask my kids about that. But because I'm kind of habitual and I go to different places, it doesn't take long that people start asking questions. And you know what it is? You know, they come up and they go, are you a Christian? You know? Naturally, I have a loud voice. It just was a God-given thing. I don't intend to be loud. And my hearing's going bad, so it gets louder. Like if I talk the way I think I'm supposed to talk, I can't hear myself, so I figure no one else can hear me. But so of course I'm a Christian, you know. And they're like, stop, you know, just, you know, because they're wanting to be undercover and discreet about it. But the idea is they ask, and the reason they ask is they see the interaction amongst us, amongst my wife and I and in our family, and they see us stop for a brief moment and ask God to bless our food because we're thankful for it. Isn't that crazy? I never would think about anything like that. I just do that just because I'm thankful. Thank you, God, that I was able to buy this food and eat it. I'm just thankful for it. It's there. It's provided. What I'm trying to say is it's just who you are. It's who we are. We are. You are. I am. We are the light of the world. It's just who you are. Isn't that awesome? As a Christian, it's just who you are. You don't have to try to be something you're not. And I'm not trying to do a good work by praying. You see what I'm saying? But they see those things, and they ultimately will glorify God. Isn't that awesome? That's amongst our unbelieving family members. That's amongst our friends. That's amongst the world that's around us. What a great, powerful truth to know. I'm going to close with this verse. I didn't say I was going to close already yet, did I? No, okay. It's just checking. I said it wasn't going to be long. Is that what I said? Okay. I did say that. Well, I better wrap this up then pretty quick, huh? Chapter 13 of Romans, verse 11. And do this. You remember what we just closed out. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Verse 11. Chapter 13 of Romans, and do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Man, time's moving fast. Time's going quick. Man, let's be the children of light the way God's called us to be. Let's let our light so shine. Let's not be lulled to sleep by the enemy. I'm not going to cower in the corner because the world says, hey, we just don't want to hear about your God stuff. Well, too bad. It's important that you and I are vocal, not getting up in anybody's grill about it, but just be vocal. Be open about who God is in your life. It's an awesome treat for them. It's going to be a blessing ultimately for them. And you know what? The one that squawks the loudest about it and complains the most about it, they're just getting hit by the rock, the Holy Spirit rock. Honestly, that's pretty much the truth. Large group of dogs, throw a rock into it. The one that yelps, that's the one that got hit, right? The same thing's true in your interaction. You're going to have a lot of people that are going to complain because you're open with the Lord. But that openness isn't wrong. It's not a problem. Man, I would hate to think of the opportunities that go by in the course of any given day that we might have been able to shine some light. Because a lot of times people don't even know that they're living in darkness until the light shines.